please turn to Mark chapter 10 one more time. And I say that because if you've been with us, you might have realized this is the fourth week we've spent in Mark chapter 10. Now, if you look ahead just a little bit, you're going to see that the very next passage in the book of Mark is Palm Sunday. So it would seem that maybe we're getting close to the end. But we have six more chapters. And we just spent 4 weeks on one chapter. So, you know, we might get to Easter by 2018. I think we might do that. Now, we are, the book is taking a change as he moves into his last week, as he completes the work set before him in Jerusalem. And we're going to take a break for Christmas and ask the question, why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? And we're going to answer that question from a number of different angles between now and between next week and the first of the year. So we'll take a little break to look at that, which cooperates with what Jesus has been, what the Word has been showing us from the book of Mark. But today, we finish up the book of Mark. So hopefully you found your way there. We're going to start in verse 46, and let's listen to God's Word. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him, "Be quiet." But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. When we get to this passage, we might have the sensation, have we been here before? Because it wasn't so many chapters ago that we heard the healing of another blind man. Those two healings of blind man end up making some bookends for this part of the story that we have just walked through, where Jesus three times has declared he is going to go to Jerusalem, he is going to be killed, he is going to be buried, he is going to rise again. Three times Jesus has laid this out as he's been teaching what it means to follow him. And here is a back bookend. We have this healing of this man, Bartimaeus. We also notice the theme that Jesus is reaching out to the outcast. Again, someone is trying to keep people away from him. not so many weeks ago, we saw him saying, let the children come to me, when the children were being kept from him. Again, he is responding to one who was an outcast. He shows that he is equally inviting all to follow him, to receive his salvation, and to enter the kingdom of God. As we look at this interaction with Bartimaeus, we notice that for us, just like for Bartimaeus, Jesus' grace is sufficient. We can see that a follower of Jesus, a future follower of Jesus, only needs to call out the way that Bartimaeus did, Son of David, have mercy upon me. So let's meet Bartimaeus. In verse 46, we notice, as we catch the seating, they came to Jericho. And Jericho was the place of the last truck stop, the last rest area before you finished your journey into Jerusalem. It was actually a very treacherous path from Jericho to Jerusalem. Nothing but trouble between those two spots. And so Jericho was the place where you were rested and ready and set out on your journey. And so they had come to Jericho, which means the journey to Jerusalem is coming near to its end. In the very next phrase, it says that his disciples were with him. There was a large crowd following him as they were leaving the city. So they're done. They're finished with the things that need to happen in Jericho, and they're moving on toward Jerusalem. And as they're leaving town, there is a blind man begging. It's a large traffic area. There's a reason that when we run across people begging that they set up in those spots that they set up in. It's because there's going to be a lot of people going by. And Bartimaeus has set up here, and he's probably been there for a very, very long time. So we meet the blind man, Bartimaeus. And because Mark is writing to a Greek audience, he translates that. He says, and that means son of Timaeus. Simon was the son of Jonah, Apostle Peter. And I have it on very good information that the Apostle Peter never dropped his microphone, not even once. So sorry about that. I lassoed the pulpit. Pretty good trick. We know Peter as Simon bar Jonah, meaning son of Jonah. And so any Jewish person that was reading this would have known that bar Timaeus meant son of Timaeus. But Mark gives us that translation there. And it kind of grabs our attention because, as we've seen, Mark had a real economy of words. It's really interesting that Mark would give a name, because Mark doesn't give many other names of people along the way. This beggar, this blind beggar, his name is known. It makes us ask why, and as we ask why, we don't have a really good answer. It's possible that Bartimaeus was known, that he, as a follower of Jesus, had a reputation. And Mark is saying, oh yeah, this is the spot, this is where it happened. This is where it all changed for Bartimaeus. Maybe he gave the name to differentiate it from the other healing of a blind man. The circumstances are different, but as those bookends, there perhaps is a need to know the difference. And I don't know what I did here. There we go. I was flopping around like a fish. Anyway, Mark gives us the name of Bartimaeus. When we continue on in verse 47 and 48, let's look at what happened. When Bartimaeus heard that this was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." See, he heard what was happening. He heard who was here, and he began to shout, "Son of David." It's like, whoa. Where'd this come from? These disciples that have good eyesight, these teachers of the law that understood the way things were supposed to happen in our book of Mark, they have not referred to Jesus this way. But Bartimaeus says, "Son of David." See, the significance of that can be found in 2 Samuel 7. In verses 12 and 13, we would read, "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Forever. A kingdom forever to the Son of David. And this blind beggar is identifying Jesus, Son of David. I mean, Isaiah, after the kingdoms of Israel and Judah have come crashing down, Isaiah writes this. In Isaiah 9, verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice, with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Nobody seems to have seen this. But this blind man sees this. And he addresses Jesus, "Son of David, coming King who will reign forever." And then he is opposed. We read in verse 48, "Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet." Be quiet, you beggar. You're here every day begging. Every day. Be quiet. They're saying, "Don't you know your place? Don't you know your place, you blind beggar?" And Bartimaeus will not be stopped. They told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Have mercy on me. Well, we move from the shout of the blind man to the words of Jesus. Jesus goes over the top of all the rebukes, and he wants Bartimaeus to come to him. Verse 49, we read, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." Call him. This one, this blind beggar Bartimaeus, call him. So they call to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. Cheer up. Get on your feet. You are being called. And then his response, he throws his cloak aside. And as he begs there every day, he has his stuff there with him. He's wrapped up there begging. He throws it all aside, and he comes to Jesus. Jumping to his feet, he comes to Jesus. And then in verse 51, we read, "What do you want me to do for you?" Does that sound familiar? It does sound familiar. As a matter of fact, last week, James and John put Jesus in a verbal headlock. So we're going to ask you a question, and you got to answer us. And Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" The exact same words. "What do you want me to do for you?" We see a picture of the gospel in the contrast between the sons of thunder, James and John, and this blind man, Bartimaeus. See, Jesus asked both of them, "What do you want me to do for you?" It's that in verse 36 and verse 51. And if we remember, James and John requested what? They requested glory. "Let us sit at your right and left hand. Exalt us, Jesus." Bartimaeus has been requesting mercy. If we think about it, it's kind of like James and John, that they have perfectly good eyes and their sight was fine. They were spiritually blind. Well, Bartimaeus, who was blind, his eyes didn't work. He was spiritually seeing. We begin to realize that God pours out his mercy on those who know their need. He tends to not pour out his mercy on those who assume their own superiority. But to those who know their need, God pours out mercy. So Jesus asked the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. And then we read, the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." Rabbi, I want to see. And Bartimaeus uses the word rabbi, we think preacher or maybe teacher. That's kind of what our ears probably hear. But if we think about what he's really saying, he is saying master, teacher, my Lord, little L Lord, the one who I am committed to following. So if you want to be a carpenter, you become an apprentice. And there's usually a somewhat grisly guy that's name is boss. And he is the master. He's perhaps a journeyman. And you do what he says. You do what he says. If he says to do it regarding carpentry, you do it. He's your master. He's your teacher. He's your little L Lord. And so in identifying Jesus as rabbi, Bartimaeus is declaring his position of subordination to this master and teacher. He says, Rabbi, I want to see. I want to see. Let's think about what he didn't ask for. He didn't ask for status. Bartimaeus did not ask for glory. He did not ask to be exalted in Jesus' kingdom. If we think about it, he didn't even ask to be delivered from poverty. He was begging the Lord, he was asking the Lord for something that most other humans have, something that most already enjoyed. He wanted to be able to see. He's crying out, all I want, Lord, is to receive my sight. Rabbi, I want to see. So as the events are unfolding, he has shouted, Jesus has called him, he makes his request after Jesus asked what he wants. And then he follows. And then he follows. In verse 58, go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately, and immediately means right then, nothing in between, it's the distance between here and there, it's now, right then, he could see. Right then, he received his sight, and he followed Jesus along the road. Also immediately, Jesus was headed to Jerusalem. He followed Jesus. My question for you today, do you hear the Son of David? See, in our incident, there was this commotion along the road, and Bartimaeus heard it, and he heard the Son of David. Do you hear the Son of David? You see, his voice is calling out. Every page of this book, his voice is calling out. There's a commotion. Do you hear him? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Silas, can you help me? Can you help me? If you're willing, come up here for a second. I'm going to have you help me a little bit. Do you remember 1997? No. I had a one-year-old baby in 1997. What have I got here? A quarter. So is it one thing or is it two things? It's one thing, right. Okay. So what's on that side? A head on that side is what? The tails, yeah. Eagle. But yeah, we would call it tail, don't we? The head and the tails. So we have one quarter. We have two sides. We have head and tails. Thank you. Can everybody remember that, the quarter? Everybody remember the quarter? Okay. Then you can have it. If anybody forgets, you'll have to give it back to me so I can show them again, okay? All right, good. Okay. So, Son of David, have mercy on me. Our theme verse, for by grace you've been saved. And when we think about mercy and we think about grace, they're a lot like that quarter. Okay, what they are is the good favor of God coming towards us. And when we think of grace, it's one side of the quarter, the head side of the quarter, or the tail side of the quarter. But it's one of those sides of the quarter. And what that is God giving you something good that you don't deserve. That's grace. That's grace. Okay, now the other side of the quarter is mercy. And mercy is when God withholds something bad that you very much deserve. Okay, but they work together. They're kind of those always flow together. They're one thing. They're two sides of the quarter. They're different in the same way that the head side is different than the tail side. You know which one you're seeing when you're looking at it, but they're so closely related. It's as though they're one thing. They both are God's good favor and his mercy. He is withholding the bad thing that we deserve. In grace, he is giving us the good thing that we don't deserve. Okay? Make sense? Got it? Okay. So when Bartimaeus screams out, "Son of David, have mercy on me," he is he's saying something profound. He's talking about a whole lot more than the fact that his eyes can't see. He's saying, "Lord, I am guilty. Have mercy on me." And Jesus responds to that. He responds to that, and he gives him the amazing gift of sight. To show that he's heard, to show that he really can ask, and Jesus will answer. So they're very closely related. So when we see Bartimaeus saying, "Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," we have a picture of what Paul has been telling us as we visit it week by week. "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Okay? "For by grace you have been saved through faith." God has extended his good character, giving us something that we don't deserve. Giving us forgiveness, giving us life, giving us eternity when we don't deserve it. Withholding his wrath, withholding separation, withholding alienation and death for all eternity. That's mercy. The life is the grace. The removal of death is the mercy. We can't really separate those two things, even though they're distinct from each other in the same way that the head side is distinct from the tail side of the one quarter. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." Jesus says, "Your faith has healed you." Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith," through trusting God, through believing God, through receiving what God has promised. That is giving. Jesus stopped and Jesus said, "Call him." Jesus called Bartimaeus through someone else. "Hey, Bartimaeus, Jesus wants you." He's being called. This morning, he is calling. This morning, he's calling. Maybe you can hear his voice as we listen to these words. Maybe I get to be like the guy that Jesus said, "Call him," to Bartimaeus. We don't have those words, but somebody went and said, "Hey, Bartimaeus, Jesus is calling you." So I'm here to say he's calling. He is calling. And what he's saying is he's saying, "Come like a child." He's saying, "Come like a beggar." He's saying, "Come to the cross." And he's saying, "Follow me, even to Jerusalem. Follow me." And Bartimaeus does. And we can too. And we can too, because he has called us. And I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to have a time of prayer in just a couple moments, okay? So let's pray. Father, I thank you for the good news on display through our brother Bartimaeus, and we don't know his face. Had we been there, he wouldn't know our face until Jesus worked, until Jesus gave him what he wanted. I want to see Rabbi. So, Father, we thank you that in eternity we will see Bartimaeus and he will see us. And he will be there because of mercy and grace. And through the cross, we will be there because of mercy and grace. And together, we can tell the stories and even show the scars, perhaps, of what it meant to follow your son. And we want to follow you, Lord Jesus. Father, empower us through your Spirit to follow your Son. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.